Nigel, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining me. Now, first off, straight into it, what kind of capabilities does this phone hacking technology that the government's got their hands on have?
Well, it's got an immense amount of capability. And as you said in your intro, our mobile devices, particularly the smart ones, are so invaluable to our lives. We store so much data. We do so much transactions on it that logically law enforcement under warrant would love to get access to that. Depending on the type of software used, some very advanced stuff gets all that and more.
Well, this technology is, of course, designed to bypass security measures on devices. So what kind of concerns does this bring up about people's privacy and digital rights then?
Well, of course, law enforcement only use this technology under a court-issued lawful warrant. So people don't need to be too alarmed by that, but there is this capability, but it's only used lawfully. It's not just randomly used. So that's probably the first filter that's put over it from a checks and balances perspective.
Yeah, right. And I understand this is something that can't be done remotely either. Is that the case?
No, you need the device to bypass the security controls that have been inbuilt by the manufacturer or the software developer creating it on it.
Mm. Okay, so that does sort of tone down the pandemonium a little bit, I suppose. The idea that as long as you do keep your phone safe and on your person, then you're in the clear. And of course, as you mentioned, there are a whole bunch of legal proceedings which do go into this these sort of procedures. With so many different government agencies now spending money on this hardware and considering pretty rapid advances we're seeing in phone technology, how long-term an investment is something like this?
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, we've just, for the Apple users out there amongst your listeners, we've just all downloaded our iOS 11 and there wasn't a great deal of extra security features in that, just more usability. But as more and more upgrades happen, the actual security of our devices is improving and increasing. So, you know, along with that, these companies that create the discovery and analysis software, they need to take that into account to improve their products so they can bypass said features.
If you're just tuning into The Daily this morning, we're speaking with Nigel Fair, Director at the Centre for Internet Safety at the University of Canberra, about the implications of the government buying new phone hacking technology. So, Nigel, as you were just saying, that we are seeing pretty frequent security updates and increases on phones, is that going to mean that this hardware is going to potentially become outdated and redundant over the next few years or even shorter term than that? Or is it something that they're going to be able to update to keep up with our technology?
Look, I think it's going to be something they're going to be able to update and keep up with. And if you've been watching any of the news from the San Bernardino matter with the FBI and the US, and in that case, Apple were hesitant to give any tools out to unlock the alleged shooter's iPhone in that instance, and the FBI used some other software to get around it. That was a subsequently court case was brought to find out what software they'd used, and they just had a win only in the last week saying they didn't have to divulge the software. So it's a pretty dynamic area that we're talking about, and definitely a moving one about who's got what capability at any particular time.
Hmm. Well, with that said, Nigel, looking to not who's got it now, but where it came from, the technology was sold to the government by a private company. With that in mind, does that mean that there are potentially lots of different sort of hardwares for hacking devices out there on the market to be bought?
Yeah, there's a number of so-called mainstream and then niche players in this area. There's computer forensics companies that have been around for really quite some time. But, when you think back to our old desktop computers that we once used to have in the spare room of our house, you know, to do discovery and analysis of that, and they've moved forward for mobile devices. And then, of course, you've got some really niche players along there as well. So there's a lot of organisations getting into this space and providing functionality and software. And, of course, depends on A, how good the product is, and B, how quickly it works, and C, at what price point.
Does this raise questions of legitimacy when it comes to the sale of these kinds of products, which in the wrong hands could be very, very dangerous?
Oh, like any computer capability in the wrong hands, it can be dangerous, of course. So what we're relying on for some of these companies is to only sell to legitimate users.
And I suppose that's a big concern as technological advances do go forward in terms of who will start creating things like this, is it?
Well, that's right. And the government, of course, uses third-party, you know, software providers for a whole range of different things, including, you know, criminal investigation. So there's nothing unusual about dealing with, you know, all sorts of international organisations that may have a capability in this regard.
Well, Nigel, it's quite nice to hear that with this, you know, new step by the government, it's not necessarily going to be a big infringement on our privacy. It certainly drums up a lot of fear every time the government gets their hands on something that's going to be accessing your information. So thanks for quelling our fears.
No problem. Well, we only heard this morning the Prime Minister talking about proposed new legislation, so it's a pretty dynamic area.
That's right. It is constantly moving and changing. So we'll get you back next time. There is a new update. Nigel, thanks so much for joining us on The Daily once again.
No worries. Talk to you later.